You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
Imagine a seeing eye dog that worked not for you, but for corporate interests. The dog didn't lead you to where you wanted, needed, or should go, but guided you to wherever its corporate bosses wanted you to be. Media advocates say that traditional for-profit media is failing to give us the information we need, want, or should have. Nick Fillmore is a freelance journalist. He was an editor and producer with the CBC for 18 years and is the founder of the Canadian Association of Journalists. More recently, he is the author of a series of articles on rabble.ca on the need to develop an independent media. And he joins us by phone from Toronto. Good morning, Nick.
Hello, Sean.
You wrote about the recent coverage by the Globe and Mail of the possible sale of the three Ontario Crown corporations as an example of bad journalism. Why was it bad journalism?
It was bad journalism because business newspapers across the country, the business sections, tend to only write for a select business and investor audience, and they don't background their stuff like people, like journalists, have to in other parts of the paper. If they were covering mining in Indonesia, they wouldn't tell you the part of the story where human rights might be threatened or miners working in bad conditions. And this is a particular brand of journalism that has grown up in Canada over the past few years, is well-funded by the corporations who buy ads, and it's entirely different from what's in the rest of the paper.
Now you say that it's grown up over the last few years. Why is that? Why have we seen this expansion of business journalism?
I think it's come along with the whole period, in my opinion, of corporations and more powerful people, you know, directing and influencing what happens in Canada. We've seen this really in the last 35 years, that you see that salaries have gone down for ordinary working people, that many things have happened to poor people, and the power has switched and has changed. And as part of this, the advertising industry and newspapers and corporations have just expanded this whole section of journalism. I remember 30 or 35 years ago, this whole rush to build those new sections, and good journalists who couldn't find a job in the regular part of media, and they reluctantly took some of these jobs.
Now, returning to this story about the three Crown corporations, you mentioned that the there's no background going on here in these stories. Can you tell me exactly what was missing?
It was all dealt with in a very positive way, assuming that everybody would be so happy to see these three Crown corporations sold. There were no serious interviews over a period of 3 days with anybody who might be critical of that, of anybody who might say, well, these Crown corporations also bring in a huge amount of money for the province of Ontario. So that was the entire slant in the way that the story was handled for a period of 3 days. It almost was cheerleading for this idea.
Did this story receive critical coverage in any other?
Well, yes, it did. Yes, it did, actually. The Toronto Star, the Globe broke the story, but the next day the Toronto Star did do a fairly balanced story, and the National Post, surprisingly, ran an editorial saying Ontario should be very careful before it sells off Crown corporations.
I guess the flip side of this business journalism would be investigative journalism. What has happened to investigative journalism in Canada over the last few decades?
I actually was one of the founders of the Center for Investigative Journalism, which turned into the Canadian Association of Journalists many years ago. The money just isn't there anymore to do it, for one thing. The papers now are having so much difficulty financially. But they're also afraid of it. They don't like to do it. They don't want to get into certain kinds of topics that might be kind of taboo in the newspapers, investigating corporations and that type of thing. They also don't want to do what I would call kind of a systematic investigation of anything. They might investigate a particular problem in a car or a car industry, but they wouldn't look at a whole sweeping area saying, fundamentally, there's something wrong with a whole sector of society. They don't do that type of thing.
What does this mean for public life and a discussion of public issues?
Well, one of the things that I wrote in the article is just a little thing that I thought of. It's like somebody somewhere in a position of authority saying, well, yes, you can have democracy, but really all you need is about, 70% of the information. You don't really need the other 30%, and even the 70% will decide how to handle it and how to get it to you. It creates quite a distortion, and we've become so used to it that certainly the journalists working in it and the public in general doesn't seem to question it very often. And that's why I'm doing these articles at this time, when I think the mainstream media is quite vulnerable because of its financial problems, and I hope that we might see some other kinds of media develop or spring up across the country.
And if such media did spring up or develop, as you put it, what might it look like?
Well, I think that we could see small, you don't need to have a daily paper to have an impact in a community. I have quite a bit of experience in fundraising as well, and I think that we could possibly develop a model, and that's one of my hopes from the series, develop a model that would allow the creation of perhaps weekly or twice weekly papers in some parts of the country, and to also develop funding models for websites so that they will focus more on communities. We have five or six websites that do alternative journalism, but my concern more is to reach a broader range of people who are the folks that we kind of need to work on to have them better educated about issues so that they might change their voting patterns and that type of thing. I don't think they're well educated enough about issues.
Now, can you get into a little bit more detail about the model? What are some of the features?
I've not really worked on the model yet. My hope is to raise the interest and then bring together some people. And I'm getting a lot of emails and a lot of feedback from people. And perhaps we can establish a small group of folks to develop maybe a model for the internet based on the financial aspects, and then one for a weekly type of newspaper or biweekly newspaper. So that part I have not done yet, but I do know enough about funding, having run my own newspaper at one time, that I think that the public, if it wants good media, has to pay a little bit more for it to get it. And a paper would need to operate kind of like an NGO, where it would raise money from special events. It would have memberships. It also would have subscriptions. And my goal would be to get the amount of money that had to come from advertising down to about 35%. If it got down to 35%, I don't think the people who run the paper would be afraid of the business community and the advertising community. Right now, at the dailies in Canada, they're reliant for 75% of their income from advertising, and I don't think that's healthy.
Are there any examples of the kind of media that you're thinking of?
Well, frankly, there aren't. But that doesn't mean that it can't happen. We also have never seen our major newspapers in North America collapse either, so that's never happened before. I think there are a lot of new communications things available, and they need to be brought together in certain ways. And I have hopes that this could be accomplished.
Well, who is and who could be creating independent media in Canada?
You could have a group of citizens come together in a community. It could be a religious-oriented group who could do it. It could happen from a university, those types of things, possibly.
Okay, thanks for discussing this important issue with us today, Nick.
Thanks very much.
We've been speaking with Nick Fillmore, a Toronto-based freelance journalist and the author of a series of articles on rabble.ca.